You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
My name is Paul Wells, and this is the seventh in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings. I'm here today to talk to Ryan Purvis to discuss his view of intelligent buildings. Ryan, many thanks for agreeing to talk to us today. And if possible, we'd like to get your view as an expert on the following questions. How would you describe the digital workplace? How does it differ from traditional working environments?
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's very good to be here. I suppose a bit of background to me to begin with. I'm currently the CIO at a business called Hilo Maritime Risk. I've been involved with that company for about 2 years. Prior to that, I've worked in banking and real estate, looking at various projects that focused on transformation from sort of non-digital to digital. And the reason that the digital workplace is such a sweet spot for me is it encompasses everything in different ways. So as much as we talk digital, it's also about the non-digital pieces. But it's really about giving a person the ability to do their work in the most efficient, effective way using various tools and technologies. So in various examples that I could give, specifically if you look at how the pandemic has worked out, people have been had to be able to work from home or anywhere that they could work so that they could still earn an income. Businesses have had to switch from being traditional in the sense of a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-6, whatever the working pattern is in an office, to allowing their staff to work remotely. And that's from sort of frontline workers all the way through to the sort of knowledge worker that we know them as. So I think the traditional working environment has switched completely to the more freelancer way of working, which is any place, anywhere, on any device.
That's really interesting. And I think it speaks volumes with what's going on at the moment. So following on from that, what do you think are the steps required to transition a company into a digital workplace? Or do you think we're already doing it by stealth?
I think it's something that's been an undertone for many organizations, and it's based on the priorities of the business. When I worked in banking, it was a forefront decision, primarily because by going to a more digitized environment, there were more controls, and that was tied to meeting the regulation. Now that we've had this pandemic and everyone's been forced to do it, those sort of stealthy maneuvers have become forefront because people have had to do it, which has been great for someone like me who's been saying it's the way to go for a long time, because now everyone's on the sort of same level, and the tooling and the processes and now the sort of base knowledge of everyone has reached the same level. So there'll still be jobs that are gonna struggle with this, and you know, think about a very manual, you know, bricklaying job that's probably not going to be digitized unless it's replaced by a robot or something. But for the most part, there are jobs that have been sitting with a person wasting 3 hours in traffic and in the commute to get to an office to do a job they could have done at home. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the office. I'm just saying that there's a time and a place for where the best place to work is. So if you're going to move into doing this, I think the first thing you need to understand is where is this from an executive priority point of view and is it, you know, strategy of the business? But then you also quite quickly need to understand who are your workers and what tools do they need to work. Now, that could be as simple as saying they need laptops, they need desktops, do they need tablets? But also, is it a case of do they need to be face-to-face a lot? Do they need to have the ability to print, to scan? You know, are they going to be on the phone all the time? Are they, creating content? So are they, a software developer? Are they a marketing content writer? You know, all those sorts of things will come into it. So you want to blend the sort of persona that's understanding who the user is and giving them the right tools. And then, of course, you need to prioritize who gets that first. If I look back on the projects I've been involved in the banking world, we always picked a line of business that based on their priorities, and we brought them online in a couple of week project. So you wouldn't necessarily do everyone at the same time. You'd do a pilot group, and then you'd move into a slightly bigger group until you've rolled out to everyone. And you're looking continuously at their experience. So using various tools to monitor, health of the device they're on, connectivity, performance of the applications they're using. You'd look at the information security elements as well. So are they connected via VPN, or at least a secure connection of some sort? So there's a continuous improvement cycle to this as well as a structured project and approach you'd have to take.
No, I totally agree. And that sounds really, really interesting. So on the third question, where do you think digital workplaces fit within the intelligent buildings paradigm?
Well, this is where we got discussing a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at your product, and I think this has always been as I said, digital workspace covers everything in the sense that it's the tools that make a person work. And it comes down, well, at least the way I see them overlapping, is that now we're looking at sort of having to have controls around your occupancy in a building, processing of air, aircon units, those sorts of things. Heating was always a factor. But now you've got to look at, if I'm going to go to building A, let's say I work for a large corporate and there's multiple buildings, I need to probably get a desk because that's now a hot desking situation. I need to know the people that I need to meet with in face-to-face are going to be around. So I need to plan that ahead of the schedule. The allocation to that building probably needs to be time sensitive. So I may only have access for a period of time. I may only have access to a certain floor. I may be booking meeting rooms, so I might need access to those rooms and the floors that are appropriate to get booking equipment. But in the same token, now you're looking at the whole building's occupancy and how do you power it? What sort of security personnel do you need to be around? How do you find people that are in the building if you're just going to have a meeting with someone that you don't know where they're sitting? So there's a nice overlap there. Now, the digital piece to this, obviously, is that the building itself needs to be sensored up, or the systems that are managing that building need to be integrated together with the systems that are managing the digital workspaces. Now, when I talk to people about digital workplace, I'm talking about your potentially a laptop that you may have, your iPhone or Android device, tablet if you've got them, but using applications that are built for the business's point of view. So you might have a branded portal or a branded app that is tied together with the building management systems so that there's a seamless experience for the end user so that they can navigate their workday, be able to work wherever they are, and make use of the building to its most effective point. And that might even be things outside of the building. So things like if you need to commute there, you know, in London, is there a tube that's nearby? If you use the tube, what's the nearest bus service? If you use the bus, if you use the Santander bikes, you know, is there near one of those? All those sorts of things, you know, gyms nearby. It becomes an ecosystem discussion as opposed to, I just need to do work today. To try to get the most out of your day. And that's really the smart digital workspace with the intelligent building.
That sort of resonates with me really well. And as usual, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you because what you're saying strikes a chord on everything that we've spoke about in the past. And as always, it's been really interesting as well. So I'd just like to say thank you very much for that. And I'm sure the people who listen to this podcast will appreciate it as much as I did. I'm Paul Wells, and this is the seventh of the series of podcasts looking at a different view of intelligent buildings. Thank you.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.